Philadelphia Fed released the manufacturer's index that they prepare for the Fed, for the nation, for that matter. But they're the ones that put that together for the Fed meeting. And anything over zero, it shows growth, and anything below zero is recessionary. And this is a leading economic indicator. And the index was 0.0. The expectation was 0.9. That's when I became a little bit more concerned that maybe, you know, this thing has rippled down to the consumer level, and it will begin to affect. And if you will talk about the fact that the reason consumers could be affected is the drying up of a source of funds because of lower real estate prices and people not being able to borrow money for mortgages and equity lines and so forth.
I was quoted in the paper after the meeting with.
I'm never quoted in the paper.
Stick with me. I was quoted in the paper after the Chamber of Commerce talk, something to the effect of, we are where we are, we just don't know where we are. And it sounded kind of strange, but it's true. One of the very interesting things that's what's happened lately is we don't really know what's going on. The reality out there in the world is something, but we're trying to figure out what that reality is. And during most times, we don't have to worry about it very much. During most times, GDP is going to come in at a certain number, or housing starts are going to come in at a certain number, and we're pretty sure what that's going to be. Now we're not so sure anymore. That the number that you just mentioned about the manufacturing index, it came in at zero as opposed to 9/10. And you say, yeah, that's, you know, it's less than 1%. That's not an insignificant difference. That's a fairly large difference. The durable goods were reported last Friday. The market was generally expecting 1%. It came in anywhere from about 3 to 5%, depending on what you put in the mix. That's a big difference. Consumer spending number for August is going to come in on September 14th, 4 days before the Fed meets. What's it going to be? Nobody really knows. The spread of uncertainty between what various pundits say it should be, this number or that number, that spread is widening because you don't really know. So part of the challenge right now, and part of the challenge to answer your question is, we really don't know for sure. And you never know for sure. But our uncertainty is much larger. It could be that retail sales are going to start to go down, maybe because of a tightening of credit, but maybe also because of the effect on the market of the adjustable rate mortgages as well. Yeah, there is a psychological effect. There's always a psychological effect. But if adjustable rate mortgages reset, that means that people are putting more money into the mortgage and less money to be spent at Walmart or Target or wherever they have to shop. That's true.
Wow.
So as a result, we could have an effect on the economy by the adjustable rate mortgage.
This has been very good and way too fast. So you're definitely coming back next week.
Yes, sir.
He's already committed to that. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about the consumer level residential area. But more specifically, we're going to talk about how all this might affect you as a citizen here in Pitt County, North Carolina, how it might affect you in selling and buying a home and cash flow and that sort of thing. And Rick is just going to bring all that to us, and I appreciate him doing it.
Yes, sir. Thank
Rick,
you very much.
Good to have you on this program tonight. Look forward to next week.
Appreciate it, John.
And so you'll need to stay tuned next week, and hopefully you'll learn something, and that's the end of the program.
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates. Talk 1070, WNCT, Greenville. CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case.
I'm not gay, I don't do these kind of things.
Newly released tapes of Senator Larry Craig's arrest and a police sexting reveal he argued with the arresting officer about what happened in a restroom at the Minneapolis airport.
We're out to enforce the law, right? But you shouldn't be out to entrap people either. This is an entrapment, all right?
Craig later pled guilty to disorderly conduct, but now insists he did nothing wrong. After months of testing the waters, former Republican Senator Fred Thompson finally appears ready to jump into the presidential race. Sources tell CNN he will kick off his campaign next Thursday. Outgoing Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is under investigation by his own agency. Lisa Goddard reports the Justice Department is acting at the behest of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
The Inspector General at the Justice Department says he's looking into whether Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez intentionally misled Congress. that look at the nation's top prosecutor as part of a broader investigation into why several U.S. attorneys were fired. Gonzalez insists he misspoke but never intentionally misled Congress. Senators, including some Republicans, question that. It's a question that helped push Gonzalez to resign and now has him under investigation by his own agency. Lisa Goddard, CNN, Washington.
In the market for a credit card, a credit union might be your best bet. A survey of 36,000 Consumer Reports readers gives USAA Federal Savings and the Navy Federal Credit Union the highest marks. Executive Editor Greg Doherty says the grades weren't that high for five banks that issue almost 80% of credit cards.
J.P. Morgan, Chase, Bank of America, Citibank, Capital One, and HSBC were all sort of, you know, average to mediocre. They weren't the stellar performers.
Doherty says excessive fees and unpredictable interest rates remain among the top complaints. College football season set to kick off tonight. Four top 25 teams are in action. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
What's the most important number in your life? Social Security? Cell phone? It might just be your credit score. Your credit score can affect how much you pay on everything from a home, a car, even credit cards. That's why it's so important to stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. The higher your credit score, the better chance you have of saving money. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com and find out how you can get your free credit score and report. FreeCreditReport.com. That's FreeCreditReport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
An important message for motorists.
Gas is killing me.
You've suffered long enough.
Really hurts when I fill up.
Relief is on the way.
Gas, you can pay a high price. Or just grab a Rolaids Plus Soft Chew and feel better.
Rolaids Plus stops gas with the most effective anti-gas medicine available. Tums can't. Chewy, not chalky. Rolaids Plus stops heartburn and the pain and bloating of gas.
Who can afford gas? Use Rolaids Plus Gas Relief.
Use it directly.
White House officials are trying to rebut a congressional report on Iraq even before it's released. Elaine Quijano reports the Bush administration argues that measuring progress is about more than meeting benchmarks.
Officials here say, look, it is not news that there's been a lack of political progress at the top levels in Iraq. They note that even their own interim report found that. What the White House is arguing is that progress in Iraq cannot be measured by benchmarks alone.
President Bush is required to present Congress an Iraq progress report by mid-September. Former astronaut Lisa Nowak won't have to wear an ankle monitor anymore. A Florida judge has granted permission for her to remove the bracelet while she awaits trial on assault charges. Nowak is accused of attacking another woman. A Federal Trade Commission investigation concludes there was no price gouging on gasoline last year. The FTC says prices spiked to more than $3 per gallon because of increased costs for crude oil and ethanol. This is CNN Radio. A coroner's report finds there was no foul play in the death of a central figure in the 1996 Olympic Park bombing. From Atlanta, national correspondent Amanda Moyer reports heart disease killed Richard Jewell.
That's the man who was wrongly linked to the 1996 Summer Olympics bombing. Richard Jewell was first a hero, then a suspect, then a few months later, his name was cleared. The 44-year-old had been a security guard at the Games and was the one who spotted the suspicious book bag that had a bomb inside. The real bomber was Eric Rudolph, and he's serving a life sentence in prison. A memorial service for Jewel will be held Friday afternoon in Atlanta. Amanda Moyer, CNN.
Here's a $64 million-to-one shot. An Ohio couple have three bouncing baby boys. The triplets born Wednesday in Cincinnati. Triplets are rare, but this is the second time around for Victoria and Tim Lasita. They have another set of triplets at home that turned 4 years old in December. I'm Stan Case. This is CNN Radio.
Keep up to date in your office needs. Visit TAS newly opened design center and meet with one of our highly trained and professional staff. From the first meeting to the final touch, our staff will assist you in design, setup, and moving in your office. TAP Office Equipment Company, 569 South Evans Street, Greenville, or on the web at tapco.com.
Right now, during Greenville Toyota's Lots on the Lot sales event, lease a 2007 Camry LE, the number one selling passenger car in America, for $239 a month. Or lease a new 2007 Toyota Tundra for $299 a month. Also, see the brand new 2008 Toyota Highlander and the 08 Scion XD during our Lots on the Lot sales event at Greenville Toyota on Memorial Drive.
Greenville Toyota Scion, where Eastern North Carolina's leading volume dealer. Why would you ever think of going anywhere else?
I'm
1070 and Cable 7 present The Pirate Insider Report with Patrick Johnson and Daily Reflector ECU beat writer Nathan Summers. Taking your calls at 355-8822. That's 355-8822. Now, here are the insiders.
It's upon us, game week. Talk
of the town. But oh my God!
Great sound of me.
And Patrick Johnson and Nate Summers. Can we
cards.
Do this over?
happy
to be with you here on this Pirate Insider Report game week edition, and the whole crew here for the wild ride. 355-8822. 355-8822. If you want to talk to one of the real insiders, and that's Nate Summers, beat writer for the Daily Reflector, covering Pirate football, joins me here as he does each and every Thursday. It's a package deal, you know. It's you and I.
I know, or nothing.
Right.
Or absolutely nothing.
Exactly. And so they can call in and they can ask you anything about this Pirate football team, about this game that it seems like we've been talking about for 2 months. Because we pretty
seems
much
like
have.
It. Yeah. We have. We've been talking about it for what seems like about a year now. But the clock is ticking, my friend.
A lot of storylines swirl around this game and swirl around these two teams, and it has very little to do with what's on the field. It has more to do with off the field. Of course, the tragedy of Virginia Tech back on April 16th. Mm-hmm. You just cannot go without discussing that. We'll hit on that in this hour, and it seems like it's going to be a very poignant and classy ceremony that they're going to have before the game. There was talk they were going to have Metallica.
That was I've been assured by the Hokie Nation.
Why are you going to do that?
That's only a joke.
And have a poignant and classy ceremony, and you're going to have Metallica.
Yeah, I don't think that was serious.
No, may have been kicked around at some point and then leaked out. And then
they love their Metallica there in Central Virginia.
Fact, they do in the Shenandoah Valley.
The Henry Lee Lucas.
And it is, isn't it?
It is.
And, of course, surrounding ECU, one of the distractions with having to go in, and I read a great article before I came here about ECU.
By me?
In the role. This was an article on Fox Sports Net's site that you did not pin. Maybe you did and they stole it. I don't know.
But that's highly unlikely.
But ECU's cast in this role, this very unfamiliar role of villain going into this game, in a sense. I mean, Virginia Tech is America's team and will be, and rightfully so, for mm-hmm. the season. And ECU is the first opponent on a schedule that'll be full of teams that, by and large, casual fans will pull against this season. And this will be a big national stage. And you got to think that certainly all of America will be rooting for Virginia Tech as opposed to the underdog in this game, East Carolina. If that was not enough of a distraction, if not the national stage and everything that has happened and surrounded this Hokie program is not enough of a distraction, ECU has their own distraction this week. It's Rob Cass getting arrested last Saturday morning, 1:28. A DUI checkpoint, and Rob Cass blowing a .19, almost blew his age. And he's in a situation where he's been suspended for one game. Just not a very smart move.
No, I mean, you don't have to really analyze this too far to realize that there's some serious bad judgment, bad timing. You know, I don't know if there's a really great time to go out there and get that first DWI under your belt, but I've managed to steer clear.
Really?
Yeah. Never been touched up by the 5-0 on that one. You know, they're after me for some stuff, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what can you
Nothing
do?
Nothing like that.
Yeah.
Just all tax evasion stuff. Racketeering, that sort of thing. No, but it really is, you know, it's not funny for them. You know, this is about as big of a tailspin as, you know, we're kind of sitting around trying to think of the last time that this close to the season, at least since I've been around East Carolina, had they ever been hit with something quite like this. And, you know, other than maybe Art Brown tearing his knee up about, you know, 6 days before they opened, I guess it was 2004's disastrous season, you know, and not knowing, I guess, that whether or not they'd have Pinckney. But, you know, as far as a late camp surprise, you know, this is a nightmare for any coach. You know, it's a nightmare for Skip. And, it, like I say, it puts them not only in a tailspin, but, you know, this team was going to rely a lot, whether they would admit it or not, on how Cass did, I think. And I think that this week is proving now that, you know, whether these other two guys, Brett Clay and Patrick Pinckney, are really that close to him, it's hard to say, but you know, a lot of people have seen those guys play in the spring games, and you know, they've been around, and I'm sure that they have come a long way. But you kind of wonder, it just seems in being around the team this week that that scramble has continued to try to figure out who's going to play. And, you know, then if you look a little bit further down the radar screen, you have Dwayne Harris, who I still feel like is kind of a wild card in this whole thing. Skip says, you know, he's not really ready at this point, but it is somebody who's taken snaps at practice. So who knows? Skip kind of, like I say, said that he's not in the running. He hasn't really mentioned Dwayne other than maybe answering some questions from us. But he seems to be, you know, thinking that he's going to probably play both, I think, on Saturday. And, you know, that's a quarterback by committee in the first game of the year at Virginia Tech is something you'd only do if you had to, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that's evidence of how serious this is.
355-8822, the number to call to get in with Nate myself, 355-8822. 11 minutes past our hour here, as we'll take you up to the top of the hour with our Pirate Insider Report. You kind of touched on everything in little doses there that I wanted to go over with this whole situation. Let's start first up with the distraction that you think this might provide. I get the sense that it has been a major distraction, despite the fact they've tried to really take care of it. They've tried to put it behind them. And there is some irritation in some of the answers you're receiving from people over there, because it is a pertinent and it is a serious matter.
Well,
everything from the infraction, sorry to interrupt you there, but everything from the infraction on down to whatever you do or do not think was appropriate with the punishment from the team and the university.
Right. Well, I agree. I mean, I don't see how it can't be a distraction. You talk about team, you're covering this team, you hear the word team, 100 times a day when you're around. And there's a reason why. These guys have invested themselves into a program, and, let's face it, they are going to rely, obviously, on their quarterback a lot. Again, going into this season, they knew they didn't have a guy who had started, and they knew that Rob was going to come in here and probably go through some growing pains, but I think everybody had accepted that fact, and I think they had a lot of hopes for Robin. At this point, you mentioned the suspension. One game seems awfully light, but if that's what they've deemed appropriate, I don't know who we are to question it. I know it does seem awfully light for the offense, and, I think it was some just extremely careless judgment, obviously. You cannot really argue any point about it, honestly. The kid is obviously underage and had consumed quite a bit of alcohol. So that alone is a distraction to the team, because you can't dress that up any way other than saying that he has let the team down. I mean, one thing I've always prided myself on is being honest about these things, and to say that he didn't let the team down would be being dishonest about it.
Sure. 355-8822, 355-8822, talk about the quarterback situation, your thoughts on the game, and a lot more with Nate Summers here tonight on our Pirate Insider Report. Let's go. Joe is on line one. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey,
great, Joe.
I just want to say a couple things, and mainly to the team. I was at the Meet the Pirates, nothing's going to make it better, nothing's going to make it right, but, Rob Cass, he's on a lot of pressure. He's the only guy I can think of in this country, athletes under as much pressure as him is Michael Vick. It don't make it better. But we're not really that much worse off than we were. I mean, because we didn't really have a starting quarterback, so let's go Pirates. All I got to say. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right, Joe. Thank you. I respectfully disagree with Joe. I think there are 117 other starting quarterbacks that are under a great deal of pressure. But I get what Joe is saying in terms of an off-the-field situation. Right. Certainly Cass's name now up there this week with a lot of athletes who get in South Carolina, various things, getting suspended for X amount of games and that sort of thing. Carolina had one of their reserve defensive backs suspended yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But he does make a good point, I think, and that is the team any really, it's an unknown commodity going into Blacksburg, and you touched on that a second ago.
Right. Well, if you want to compare it to anything, if they had lost somebody the caliber and experience of James Pinckney last year, even if you wanted back 2 years and they lost him to the academics that they were at risk of losing him to anyway, and obviously James made a remarkable comeback and became the, one of the obviously top five best quarterbacks I think to ever play here. But yeah, this is a little bit different because, you know, they knew one way or the other they were going to start this season with a guy who had never been a starter before. That is definitely true. But again, as I mentioned earlier, I think we're starting to see somewhat this week that it wasn't such an easy decision between the other two guys. You know, Skip, I think, wavered a little bit back and forth.
Was that coach speak, though? I mean, is that the type of thing you don't want Virginia Tech? Because there's really not film on either guy, so it's not like you're protecting them from any kind of scouting report that could be done on a film.
No, but I think he was being pretty straight, though, that, you know, when he walked off the field with those guys on Wednesday last night, I think he was being pretty straightforward that both of these guys, in those 2 days since they really were able to go at this thing and try to figure out who was going to play, you know, I think that they both had enough ups and downs that, you know, there were some question marks with both of them walking out of there. So, you know, it may be coach speak, like you say. I mean, I don't think he's going to give away any kind of a game plan or, you know, talk too much about either of the guys. I think that, you know, the only thing you have on your side is maybe a little bit of the element of surprise right now. It's just...
Or being surprised.
Yeah, or how good is the surprise, I guess, is what you worry about. And how big will the surprise be on whoever does play? And that's not the environment to break in a new quarterback. And as I think we've said all along, Rob very well likely would have had his own struggles at Virginia Tech. But I think this has compounded their problems, even if just from a mental standpoint. The guys on this team have been practicing with Rob as their quarterback all spring, all summer. Even through voluntary workouts, Rob never lost that number one spot. So, you know, whether or not he's really all that much better than the other guys, it's a tough call probably, but he never was challenged really for that spot. So that was definitely something going into this that I think kind of makes it a big blow for them mentally.
355-8822, the number to call, 355-8822. There has been talk that Dwayne Harris has taken some snaps, although the coaching staff says no, in his individual time he is spending it working out. Very little at quarterback, but there are some sources that are saying he's taken a lot of snaps this week. I get a sense we're going to see him at some point in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, again, Skip Holtz this week kind of indicated that you know, that's not something they would ideally want to do, just based on the fact that that Dwayne has only, you know, only played on the scout team last year as a redshirt. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at almost, if there's less experience, I think, out of a group of guys who have not started games, he would definitely be at the bottom in terms of experience. That being said, though, if he gives you something that the other guys can't right out of the gate, which he may be able to do, then maybe you do have to use him. And, you know, if the other two guys are going to bring a very similar style into this thing, I mean, Patrick Pinckney is maybe a little more mobile, but, you know, Brett Clay maybe throws a little bit better ball, if you believe the, you know, almost sort of stereotypical look at these quarterbacks right now, just based on spring games and, you know, what little we've seen of them in practice. But I think Dwayne maybe would give them a little more versatility. He has probably better speed than either of the other two guys. It's just really, he is an unproven commodity as much as the other guys, if not a little more.
355-8822, the number to call to get in on our Pirate Insider Report on this Thursday. Get you ready for the Virginia Tech game as the Pirates will kick it off 12 noon with the Hokies, ninth ranked in the nation, coming up this Saturday. Take a timeout. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about the Virginia Tech Hokies. A quarterback themselves, there's some questions surrounding their position in terms of consistency. And we'll talk about that, plus that superior defense that Virginia Tech boasts. A lot more on the Hokies coming up next.
For over a decade, you have enjoyed the personalized service, fine dining, and the bistro atmosphere at the CPW's family of restaurants. They now invite you to come to CPW's and Ottavola Market's new sister store, CPW's at Brook Valley, located at the picturesque Brook Valley Country Club. CPW's at Brook Valley is now open to the public for lunch and dinner, offering pasta, steaks, seafood, a fully stocked bar, and lakeside patio seating. Reservations are accepted for lunch and dinner 6 days a week. Let them host your next private party, business meeting, or wedding in one of their spacious banquet rooms, or they can come to you and cater your own special events. CPW's at Stanton Square, CPW's at Brook Valley and Ottavola Market on Red Banks Road. With three locations, you will never have to travel far to enjoy the finer things in life.
Join the staff at CPW's Brook Valley for a free wine tasting every third Thursday at 6. And their soon-to-be famous patio party with Victor Hudson every fourth Thursday.
Dave Davis.
Services East Carolina Chrysler Dodge in Greenville is proud to announce the best warranty in the history of the automotive industry. Right now, if you buy a new Chrysler Dodge vehicle at Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge, you'll receive a lifetime powertrain warranty. That's right, a lifetime powertrain warranty on new Chrysler and Dodge vehicles. You are covered under warranty as long as you own your car, and you'll get 0% financing for 72 months on select Chrysler Dodge minivans, Dodge Durangos, Dakotas, and Chrysler Aspen. That's 0% interest for 72 months on select Chrysler Dodge vehicles and a lifetime powertrain warranty when you purchase a new Chrysler Dodge car or truck at Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge. You can't beat this warranty. You can't beat this interest rate. And you can't beat these prices. It's an unbelievable offer on new Chrysler Dodge vehicles. And it's all only for a limited time. So hurry in to Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge on the corner of Memorial Drive and Greenville Boulevard in Greenville.
How are we supposed to find anything in this place? Where in the world is the carpet?
I think we're in the wrong section. I think the flooring is over there. Isn't there anyone that can help us?
Honey, look out!
Let's get out of here.
Why go to a warehouse to find flooring?
Thad's Flooring America is Greenville's exclusive Karastan carpet dealer, offering an in-house interior designer, a huge selection of carpets, ceramics, and hardwoods, and a friendly and helpful staff of design associates. The Thad's family of stores has been in business for over 25 years in Raleigh, Goldsboro, and Swansboro, and now Thad's Flooring America in Greenville is proud to serve all of eastern North Carolina. You don't have to shop at a huge warehouse to save money. Thad's Flooring America is associated with 500 stores nationwide. Wide, and they pass the savings on to you. No interest financing is available for up to 5 years, and you'll get a lifetime installation warranty with any purchase. That's Flooring America on Greenville Boulevard, across from Adams Auto Wash in Greenville.
Patrick Johnson and Nathan Summers and you on this Pirate Insider Report Thursday night. Kickoff less than 48 hours away. Oh, about what would you say, Nick? We're a little over 36 hours away.
I haven't checked my ESPN countdown game time.
Well, how about that? It's in the 24th, Patrick.
How annoying is that?
Well, I'm sure it's annoying, but at least the fact it's in 24 is pretty cool, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't change the annoyance level of ESPN very much. But
what do you expect out of... you're going to be busy, so I don't know how much of it you'll get to see. I assume you'll be at the press box at a certain time. You'll probably have to get there a lot earlier than you normally would for a game, I would think, but... Well, in terms
just
of
spend the night
at the press box?
Oh, yeah.
That'll work a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But what do you expect? I know you're a detractor at times of what ESPN has done to sports, but what do you expect from their presentation?
Well, I think it's already been talked about around here by a few people. I expect them to be talking about it, all of it. The backdrop to the game, I'm sure they have been working on their own, intro type stuff for the Virginia Tech end of things, which, that really obviously is the more important of the major issues, swirling around this thing. But I do expect them to talk about Rob Cass. I mean, I think that they would have talked about him an awful lot if he were out there taking snaps.
But it's going to be less about football and more about backstory at Virginia Tech.
I think a lot of it will be, but, as I wrote into my preview, no matter what happens, thinking back to even 9/11, watching some of the baseball games post 9/11 and some of the NFL games and that kind of stuff, it can be extremely emotional, but I think most people at the end of the emotion would like to see a football game, and whether they want to or not, at some point, that's what it's going to be. The pregame is something that it really is, I think it's very important, obviously. I mean, when are you going to have a tragedy like this?
Hopefully,
on a campus. Exactly. It's a sort of what we hope would be a once in a lifetime thing for everybody involved. I would expect I expect there to be a long ESPN overproduced, sing-song
piece.
Absolutely.
Chris Conley piece.
Even if we don't hear from Jaworski, I'll be shocked.
Will you?
Oh. Or somebody, someone that truly doesn't belong. Sean Salisbury would be a great touch.
They're bringing Tirico down from the Monday Night Football booth.
I like Tirico. Yeah, he's one of the few classy things left on ESPN.
Is that right?
Yep.
That's 355-8822, the number to call this Pirate Insider Report with Nate Summers as we get you set for the Virginia Tech East Carolina game. Beamer ball, 113 block kicks, five of them last year, and they've converted Don't quote me on this, and I don't really want... Well, I could probably look it up here.
You probably could.
I probably
before
could.
The show, even.
Well, I did, but I've got so many things going through my very thick and skull that contains a very tiny brain, as you know. And but I want to say it's 57% of those opportunities or those blocks, in one way or the other, have been converted to scores. That's an amazing number.
Yeah, well, again, you know, something that I've looked at with this team, and everybody has, because it's you know, widely publicized. They are great at getting non-traditional points one way or the other. They returned a couple of interceptions for touchdowns last year, a couple of fumbles. As you mentioned, they are obviously notorious historically for blocking punts and just interrupting kicking games in general. And one important facet in this whole thing is that this is no longer an experienced punter at East Carolina. You know, I think you could jokingly almost in 2004-2003 seasons, you know, you could talk about Ryan Doherty and say at least we, you know, the team has a great punter. I think they really will miss that this year, especially in a game like this where field position is going to be critical and ECU is going to struggle. As I've said all week, they're going to struggle to get across the 50-yard line in many cases. You know, I think maybe they will have a few bust plays and get downfield, but as far as a consistent attack, that's going to be pretty tough, I think, all around against this defense. So a new punter, Matt Dodge, is going to, you know, he seems to have a lot of confidence, but that's a tough place to go and punt when you're backed into the end zone and you have 70,000 people screaming at you. So, again, it, just like with quarterback, punter is this is not the best place to try out your new punter. So Matt Dodge could have an interesting first game at East Carolina.
My number 57, that was 57 blocked punts of the 113 blocked kicks. 35 have been field goals, 21 extra points, and 15 of those 57 blocked punts have gone back for scores. That's still one out of every four. And that's a pretty remarkable percentage in what they've done there. And they have done it against East Carolina as well in the past two teams meeting for the first time since 2000. And they may very well do it again this Saturday, something I'm sure has been concentrated on. Brandon Orr is probably, you know, you've had a lot of good NFL caliber backs at Virginia Tech in the first part of the decade and into the late 90s as well. Brandon Orr, over 1,700 yards, 22 touchdowns. Greg Hudson has described him very eloquently as someone who can not only hit you hard, but, you know, burst and blow by you with speed, sort of a thunder and lightning approach in one back, if you will. He's going to be a handful. And
yes.
Sean Glennon, who was up and down last year, 11 TDs, 11 picks. He did start, but had a very up and down year coming off a redshirt year. Glennon is probably going to be a lot of taking the snap, turning around a hand to get to Orr. And the other great backs that they have, the Stallions, as they refer to them.
Right. Well, you know, if there's any way on earth of comparing East Carolina right now to Virginia Tech right now, that may be it. Only in that you have a defense that's going to, at times, probably carry the load for you, and hopefully, you know, I think both these teams are certainly hoping that there's a lot of big play capability on both of these defenses. Obviously, that remains to be seen in some cases with East Carolina, especially with their very young secondary. Not sure what kind of opportunity Virginia Tech will try to take in the passing game, but as you mentioned, Glennon has, you know, a little bit to prove. I think 11 touchdowns last year, not bad, not great. When you do have a guy that rushes for over 1,700 yards, as you mentioned, in Brandon Orr, then that really starts to take the heat off that offense and take the pressure away from a quarterback like Glennon. And again, that's where I say if there's any way on earth of comparing these two teams, that's what East Carolina, I think, would hope for, especially given their quarterback quandary right now, that maybe the running game, the offensive line, will take some heat off them and protect them a little bit and get them into some kind of a groove, something that they can work with, or as Skip Holtz always says, give them somewhere to, that they can put a saddle on and ride, you know, when the other things are not working.
Even though Glennon had an inconsistent year last year, he was still the starting quarterback on a 10-win team that went to the Chick-fil-A, what used to be the Peach Bowl, and what was a team that was right there in terms of the ACC, right down to the last few weeks of the season. So they certainly know how to ride Orr, who is going to be a real handful come Saturday. Defensively, though, this is a team that led the nation in total defense. They led the team in defensive scoring, and they're very good against the pass. I don't think we're going to see a great deal of passes coming from East Carolina's secondary. They are big play susceptible, according to offensive coordinator Todd Fitch. But this is a team, especially up front. Chris Ellis comes to mind, a sack machine type of guy, as you've described him. is someone that can really wreak havoc that day. And this young offensive line for the Pirates, or this offensive line that's really had to shift some people around to different places, has had their problems in the preseason, it is going to be tested on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at the ends, Chris Ellis is one of those ends. You know, he's like, I think, a lot of guys on this team. I don't think there's any question about how talented he is, but I think that, you know, if you're a Virginia Tech fan or if you're a part of this team, you look at a guy like that and think that the best still might be yet to come this year out of him. He is a senior, and like I say, I think he's kind of representative of this whole team. They have been a good team already, and these guys have had success, but I think they're looking at this year for a lot of these guys, especially a lot of these seniors on this defense, is, you know, this is their year to really turn it on. I believe Ellis comes into this game with 13.5 career sacks, which is not a huge number, but it's certainly effective. He had 4.5 sacks last year, and I think played a lot of the year with that shoulder injury, ended up sitting out the spring after having a surgery on it. So he'll be coming back from that, but you know, he will be a handful, especially if he lines up across from, you know, one of these young guys, like a DJ Scott at tackle, who right now is, you know, is slated to be a starter on the ECU offensive line. So how well they do, not only in run blocking and pass protecting and that kind of thing, you know, that's really going to really be determined by how active this defensive line is. And by all accounts, it looks like they're going to be pretty aggressive.
Vince Hall's a guy, too, on that defense who is getting a lot of preseason accolades.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of guys on this defense. You know, we talked about some of those guys up front, but these linebackers are great, too. He I believe, comes in as, I think, the active tackles leader out of this whole group of guys. And
well, he's sleek, he can run, and he really lays the pop on.
Yeah, he is what you want your linebackers to be. Obviously, you want your linebackers to do most of your tackling, and he definitely does that. And I think that's what East Carolina is hoping for out of their linebackers is, you know, this time around. Fred Wilson, I think they love what they saw out of him. But you look at a guy like DB on Virginia Tech's team, he already is that. Hall is already that. You know, they are they're not going to miss many guys, and they're not going to force the secondary to make too many tackles or too many big plays.
They missed the last part of spring ball because of the tragedy up there. Frank Beamer's concerned about the kicking aspect of their game as a result of that. Any validity to that, or is that just something that Frank Beamer's sort of just talking about, I guess? They've been out in camp now for a month. Granted, they've probably had, you know, the way it's been the last week and a half to 2 weeks here in terms of just distractions, things going on, and the talk about everything that is off the field that surrounds this game. I can't imagine what it's been like for the last 30 days in Blacksburg.
Well, I agree with you, and, you know, this is obviously still a national story. If you watched CNN or any of the news networks today with some of the reports you know, this thing, I guess, it obviously has never really gone away, but it is obviously coming back, not only for that reason, but because of this game. As we mentioned, obviously, the entire nation is going to be able to sit down and watch this game. And, you know, I think the majority of the country is probably going to be watching for a lot of that pregame, the emotional end of this game. You know, and how all that carries over is obviously, you know, that's what we're here talking about, and that is the big unknown here. But, you know, I think just the national attention on this game puts a different light on everything, no matter whose side you're on. But certainly for ECU, I think it has changed around here. I think that these last couple of months have been nothing but.
Do you think that there's any chance, though, that Virginia Tech may come out? I don't think there's any chance they'll come out flat, but that they could get caught up in all this to the point that, you know, they might not be as crisp as Frank Beamer would like them to be off the offset.
Yeah, I think we might have mentioned this on Talk of the Town the other day. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not predicting that, but I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know.
Well, it's like a team in the Super Bowl.
I mean, right, exactly.
That's the type of hype that is attached to this game.
Absolutely. And it is any game, you know, with a long, especially an emotional, long, drawn-out beginning, can affect either team, obviously. You know, really, it almost puts the pressure on them to come out and immediately on that kickoff lead up, live up in some way to all of what has come before them. And that's obviously kind of tough to do, especially if you, you know, if Virginia Tech ends up with the ball first, or, you know, whenever they do get it first, if they go three and out, punt the ball, you know, I think that can take a little of the life out of the game, and they sort of have to win that back. But, you know, they have the luxury of having the talent to, you know, be able to take that momentum back, I think.
355-8822, 355-8822, the phone number to call to get in on the Pirate Insider Report. Another break. We'll come back. And we'll talk a little bit about East Carolina's D. We talked about it some last week. Talk about how they plan to attack this Hokie offensive attack. And also touch on some of the other skill positions in terms of the offense to see how things have developed. A lot of ECU talk when we return. And your phone calls and thoughts on everything from the cast situation. Who do you think will be the quarterback? The emotion of this day. Everything. We could talk about that as well at 355-8822. Hope you'll stay tuned and call in. We'll be back with more after this.
Community banking as you want it to be. The excellence of ECB.
Tiffany Griffiths with the East Carolina Bank and branch manager of ECB's newest location in Winterville. That's right, we have expanded our community style of banking to Winterville and South Freeville. Now you can take advantage of our great financial products like free personal and business checking, free online banking with bill pay, consumer, business, and mortgage loans, as well as all-day banking. ECB's community style of banking means service with a smile. We are involved in the communities in which we live and work. Is your bank really focused on you and your financial needs? I invite you to stop by 3810 South Memorial Drive or call me at 252-321-7914. Let me demonstrate why ECB stands for excellence in community banking.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And now a few words from the folks at Phelps Chevrolet in Greenville. You're going to really like the closeout on the new 2007 Silverado Crew Cab, Extended Cab, and the Chevy Trailblazer with 0% financing for 60 months. Phelps Chevrolet, 3325 Memorial Drive, Greenville, North Carolina's finest. It's an American revolution. Take a test drive today.
Phelps Chevrolet.
Head down to Bully's Fifth Street Pizzeria in Uptown Greenville for great food and a fun atmosphere, plus daily drink specials. Bully's is the place to watch football this season. 15 televisions featuring ESPN's College Game Plan and NFL Sunday Ticket. Catch all 12 ECU games on the tube at Bully's this year. It's the best seat in the house for Pirate football. Bully's has half-price appetizers on Sundays and $8 all-you-can-eat wings on Mondays. Voted best pizza in Greenville, Bully's is serving up their famous Chicago-style pizza, Stromboli's, salad, subs, and appetizers for lunch or dinner. Check out the new 24-inch extra-large pizza. It's big enough to feed a crowd and great for tailgaters. And don't forget, for late-night cravings, Bully's stays open until 4 a.m., serving breakfast Tuesday through Saturday. Yes, Bully's delivers. Relax and call 752-B-O-L-I. Bully's, 5th Street Pizzeria, corner of 5th and Cotan Street in Uptown Greenville, serving Pirate fans for over 16 years.
Fantastic figure. Patrick Johnson, along with Nate Summers and our entire crew, the incomparable Jeff Harrell, Mr. James Gimperline, and one rockin' John Creech. Panthers football coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be able to get you right to the kick as the Panthers play their final preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Bank of America Stadium. And we'll take you out in time for the kickoff of that at the top of the hour. So keep it tuned if you're with us on Talk 1070. What's airing on Cable 7 in the big primetime Thursday night slot tonight, Jeffy? Outdoor Life. Well, stay tuned for that after the show on Cable 7.
What was that?
Outdoor Life. I know you're an outdoorsman.
I am an outdoorsman.
You do enjoy the outdoors.
I like to do a little fly fishing.
Talk of the Town. You do.
That's no joke.
Talk of the Town tomorrow. Arnie Spanier from Sporting News Radio will be among the guests. A lot to get to with that tomorrow as we'll have one of our free-for-all Fridays. I hope you will join us. And if you're up early, I've not replayed this interview. And God, I hope I can find it. We're going to replay the interview with Bill Roth, the play-by-play voice of Virginia Tech. Not the one we did on Wednesday, but the one we did the day after the tragedy. He was good enough to join us that next morning. And I think that'll be a very poignant and really a trip back to that time to just really, if you can't remember the emotion of that time, that interview. So that'll be at about 6:45 tomorrow during Talk of the Town Morning Edition. Hope you'll consider tuning it over to that from some kind of music station. Panthers coming up against Pittsburgh. We'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings for our Pirate Game Day countdown from Buffalo Wild Wings and the Arlington Chops, 9 to 11. Ricky Ray and myself, the DOB will be on with us, Nate Summers. Also, will be on the phone with us as we'll do an interview with one Mr. Summers. And our Bud Select postgame call-in show will follow Pirate ISP Sports Network coverage here of the big game. Okay, so.
So it's Pittsburgh's turn. He said.
For what?
For the Panthers.
Yeah. Hmm. What does that mean?
I mean, it's Pittsburgh's turn to whoop the Panthers.
To whoop the Panthers. Well, you know, it's not been a very good preseason. Especially your Eagles really laid it on.
Yeah, my Eagles have a tendency to go ahead and win that division, though, during the regular season.
And then
flop. You
and
know,
then
flop
in the playoffs.
Lose to a second-rate team like the Panthers once or twice.
What about the Sox?
Can't talk about it.
Why not?
Because. It's like September almost. Not the same word. Are you kidding?
What's going on in that? I think the Cubs are on tonight. So when we wrap this up, I'm headed to.
Right now, our phone is ringing and people are telling us to stop.
Yeah, they are.
Bantering about foolishness that we can easily watch on ESPN.
We saw that. We talked about the ECU defense last week, Nate. And the Pirates are certainly going to have a challenge here schematically.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a lot will change. This is an attacking defense, according to Greg Hudson. He says, no, we do attack. It's a defense that goes after people with what they do. But I think the point that we can take from last week in our discussion is it is a very workmanlike group. They just get the job done. And in order for East Carolina to have success in this game, they really have to be good against the run.
Yeah.
And they have to be very, very they don't have to be out there for long stretches. I mean, they're going to have to keep Virginia Tech behind the change as opposed to ahead of them. They don't want what will require ECU to have success on offense, those third and short situations. The third and long situations, contrastly, will lead to the Pirate defense having a big day, and that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and the thing is, if ever the cliche of being fundamentally sound, really means something, this is probably it, because as we've mentioned, the offense is not what's so overwhelming about this Virginia Tech team, so that would be the most obvious place to try to start if you're going to get some momentum in this game at any point. I would expect it to maybe be the defense if they do really maintain this simple style, stay in your gap approach that they've done very well with over the last couple of years under Hudson. If they can take what they learned last year and really, as people always say, if they can bring all of that in this year and use it for something, this could be an important time to do it, obviously, because I think if you can get the Virginia Tech offense sputtering a little bit, we mentioned the emotion of the pregame, if the defense for East Carolina is able to come out there and make a few early stands, then you most certainly can start looking at the game a little more realistically if you're on the East Carolina sideline. And maybe at that point it doesn't become such an impossible task to stay on the field with these guys. Obviously, if it goes the other way and Virginia Tech takes that momentum and that home crowd and gouge that young secondary maybe a few times on some pass plays, then it's going to maybe go the exact opposite direction. But I think this is a good chance for them to really work on that concept of being fundamentally sound, staying in gaps, not trying to run too far out of your position. And we'll see. Like I say, this is not the most overwhelming offense they'll see.
You can give us a call at 355-8822, 355-8822. Patrick Johnson, Nate Summers with you on this Pirate Insider Report. As Quentin Cotton, an opportunity to talk to him at the practice field. And to a man, when you talk to anybody on this defensive side of the ball for East Carolina, they have a great deal of respect. They have really studied up on this Virginia Tech team. And that's the case every week when they go out there. The defense last year kept the ECU in so many games and really allowed the offense to come around in some cases and eventually win the game.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And that's kind of, what I was saying, the momentum in this game is going to be a tricky thing, and this game will be unique to the others. And the defense really can maybe create some momentum. You know, we'll see. And sometimes I think in games like this, it's that other team's defense can really take away all the momentum if they're really that overbearing and that attacking is you know, we all kind of expect them to be. But yeah, as you mentioned earlier, I think that the only advantage here truly is that they have had 2 months or 3 months or however long to really think about this one game. So, you know, we'll see what that all means. You know, that preparation may be very short-lived if they get in over their heads early, but it could count for something in the long run.
To the phones, and we go to Pat, who has joined us. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hi. I have one comment to make about the fact that a lot of the teams, big teams, are playing small schools this week.
Right.
And we're playing something that's really a challenge. And I want Pirate fans to remember that we could conceivably start out with more losses than wins. And if we do that, we shouldn't stop going to the game because, you know, we're taking on teams that some of these other schools are not taking on to start the season.
That's a good point, Pat. And I think last year, although it was a sub-500 start to the year, the Pirates got hot and were able to turn around. I think this year could very well take on the same type of character in terms of the schedule. There could be a very slow start out of the gates. In terms of wins and losses, I think this team is going to be competitive in most every game because they are just so prepared under this coaching staff, something we didn't see a few years ago. But this is a really, the thing that's always impressed me with what Skip Holtz does and his staff does, they are prepared, and they've really been, with the exception of maybe the bowl game last year and the Tulsa game a year or so ago, they've been in every game they've played in. And this could be a situation, Nate, where record-wise it might not look too impressive, but the games are close. They're, you know, I think now a lot of the national experts are thinking the Pirates are going to get their doors blown off. I still don't think that's going to be the case. I think to a point in this game, East Carolina's going to have an excellent shot to win it.
I do too. I mean, I really do see that this game could be close. It's going to be tough for them to win in that environment, obviously. It's going to be tough for them to score a lot of points, but that is kind of the theme we've talked about all along. I think, you know, I don't necessarily see a blowout, you know, in this game. And that does not make the odds necessarily any less tough on East Carolina. But in getting back to what Pat was saying, I agree too. You know, but this is really the start, in my estimation, of the Terry Holland era of the scheduling agreements that were discussed so prominently two summers ago. You know, you throw in obviously a game with Navy to get that ball rolling. Last year, but let's face it, you know, West Virginia is a team they've seen before. They kind of just continued that one. This, to me, is really the start of the Holland long-term agreement package in earnest, because you get the four obvious big hitters in the non-conference schedule with no lapse whatsoever.
Anything else, Pat?
Just that Pirate fans need to come out and support the team. If we want the kind of program that Terry Holland's trying to build, we got to be there.
Well, I think they're going to have, certainly, in terms of games this year, they're going to have big crowds.
Including right off the bat.
Yeah, right off the bat, there will be quite a big one. I know Pat's probably got a big tailgate plan for next week as well. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
355-8822, 355-8822. I think fans, for the most part, have, and Pat's a great example of this, have in perspective what exactly this first part of the season, mm-hmm. Before the conference play really heats up, although it does heat up in the third week with Southern Miss. I mean, that's quite a conference opener, the Golden Eagles. But just going to be a I think this season's story could be very similar to last season's story in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, the thing about last season that stands out to me now, and you know, as you're going through week to week and the team is starting to win, I think you can almost begin to overlook some of the success a little bit. You know, this team, the season really last year to me was defined by a winning streak. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, they got hot at a time when, you know, where if they were going to have a successful year, that was the time to do it, and they did. And that obviously carried right through to the NC State game, which, you know, was a really, to me, a big exclamation point about the success. You know, granted, they get State in what was obviously a little bit of a down year, but, you know, the ECU teams, as we mentioned, of 4 years ago, would have gotten their doors blown off in that game regardless, just from a lack of confidence. And that's, you know, that's not around anymore. And, you know, getting back to the call again, you know, this schedule, it's not going to get any tougher. And, of course, a lot of teams, you know, get their cupcakes out of the way. But that's the difference. I think Terry Holland knows that East Carolina is in a position to gain some notoriety by playing bigger teams. That's how you become one of the bigger teams, and you know, it takes some serious dare to do such a thing. Ask Memphis coach Tommy West what he thinks about it. He'd say, well, I think it's crazy. It's just crazy. Don't make no sense.
Well, I'll say this as well. I don't think Virginia Tech is considering East Carolina to be a cupcake on this schedule at all.
Absolutely not. No. I don't think so either. I think that this, I think they really might end up seeing it in the way that I think East Carolina would want them to, and that's that this is a legitimate regional rival, and I really, that's what I love about the scheduling agreements. That's my favorite thing about it, is that it gives them some identity in this region, and that's something that they really need.
Back to the phones, and Luke is called in. Luke, make it easy.
Okay, I'll do my best. Thanks for taking my call first.
Thanks for calling.
I wanted to ask you, there's been so much buildup about the game at Virginia Tech. It almost seems that every story has already been covered about it.
No kidding.
Do you guys have any fresh perspective or a fresh take on the game that we may have not already seen in the media?
Absolutely not, sir.
Absolutely not. We're just waiting for the ball to be teed up and kicked off, and then we'll be able to really pontificate on what we think will happen for the rest of the season. No, we were talking about it during the break. We talked about it in the show. It's the perpetual storyline. I mean, it is like the Super Bowl. It is the build-up to a game that, and it's like this in any season, but it really has taken on a little bit of a different meaning. I can't imagine what it's like in Blacksburg, because certainly it's been the case here. Now you have the unfortunate off-the-field incident early in the week here, and that has certainly added a new twist to this story, and has probably taken it less of a nuts-and-bolts football type of story that we've covered here last week. To more of an off-the-field, an unknown, a quarterback controversy, and enters East Carolina into the storyline. But look, there are storylines all the way down to PETA could be protesting the game because they're not going to take Michael Vick's jersey down, to the type of jets that are flying over, all kinds of things. The ceremony, I mean, it is it's a real... I think there are a lot of stories, and I really haven't explored enough online up in what's going on in the Roanoke area or the area in that western part of the Virginia Mountains to know what kind of coverage has been generated for them up there, but I'm sure there's some excellent coverage online that you could go to. I mean, what do you make of all this coverage, or what do you expect maybe from the ESPN game day? Is it going to be a traditional game day broadcast, in your opinion, or do you think there'll be a lot of sap attached to it?
I think there'll be a lot of sap attached to it. I would not be too surprised if they might even have some cameras in the locker rooms, maybe showing some tears on both sides of the team. I'm just hoping that both teams are ready to go at it and looking forward to watching the game.
I can guarantee you this, Luke.
They'll be ready.
They will be ready. nobody is more ready to play football than the guys on the respective rosters, the over 100 players on the respective rosters.
I would say, and you know, we talk about the anticipation. For these two teams, I think you could argue that maybe neither of these groups of guys have probably ever anticipated a game or will maybe ever anticipate a game like this again. As we've mentioned a couple times, hopefully, you know, we'll never have this set of circumstances surrounding a game again, which is something obviously everybody would root for, but... yeah, I think they'll be ready.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Luke, hope you're ready, and do look forward to the kickoff, and hopefully you'll call us back throughout the course of our run here this season. Thanks for the call.
Look forward to reading the column on Sunday.
There you go. Fan of Nate Summers.
Yeah, he probably just meant in general.
Nah, I see. Thank you,
the young column, Luke.
The
so
column.
To speak.
Not the coverage. Not your column.
Right. A column.
take a break, come back, and reset the lineup for the big coverage this weekend for you coming up. This is the Pirate Insider Report.
This is Lauren with Greenville Toyota. Right now, during our Lots on the Lot sales event, you can get some of the best prices of the year on Toyota's best-selling cars and trucks.
It's the Greenville Toyota Lots on the Lot sales event with savings on America's number one selling passenger car. Right now, lease a new 2007 Camry LE for just $239 a month. You heard it right. A brand new Camry for just $239 a month with $239 down. Need a new truck? Greenville Toyota has a great selection. And right now, you can lease a new 2007 Tundra for just $299 a month with $999 down at closing. Incredible savings during the Greenville Toyota Lots on the Lot sales event. But you have to hurry. These payments will only last a few more days. Also, see the brand new 08 Toyota Highlander and the new 08 Scion XD now at Greenville Toyota.
Our Lots on the Lot sales event and the Greenville Toyota Advantage at Greenville Toyota.
Toyota Scion, Eastern North Carolina's leading volume dealer. Why would you think of going anywhere else?
This is based on 48 miles tax available. Only qualified lease Eastern Southeast Toyota Plaza dealer for details.
Bill Jenkins from the Clement Company is in the studio with us once again. Employee benefits and individual life insurance. People may not be aware that you are the guy at the Clement Companies to handle all the employee benefits for businesses.
We provide many options for consideration at renewal, such as HSAs, which have been talked about quite a bit over the last couple of years, as well as incorporating HRAs, where employers can incorporate a higher deductible, yet pass on part of that deductible to the employee and have a net savings when it's all said and done.
Bill, the whole group benefits thing is so confusing these days. There's so many options out there. How does somebody go about knowing exactly what's best for them and their business?
Basically, what we do is go in and review the benefits that you have in place, take those to market, and make sure that we can determine that, in fact, what you're moving forward with is the best option for you and your employees.
Contact Bill Jenkins at the Clement Companies, providing property, group liability, and workers' comp, also Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina group and individual benefits for their friends in Eastern North Carolina.
Hi, I'm Bob Simon from the Beef Barn. While others are celebrating their grand openings, the Beef Barn is celebrating anniversaries, 40 of them. As you know, the Beef Barn's been around since 1967, but there's nothing old about the beautiful new barn. Great steaks, chicken and seafood, a daily lunch buffet, and Greenville's best salad bar are what many know us for. But you'll find many favorites on our new expanded menu. Portobello crab dip and our 22-ounce cowboy steak are just some of the new items that you can enjoy at Greenville's hometown steakhouse. There's not a better setting for a family Sunday brunch or quiet romantic dinner for two. You'll still find the same great food and service, but the award-winning wine list and the atmosphere is what makes the Beef Barn Greenville's best. Need the Beef Barn to cater your function? Call Donna for parties and events, 756-1161. For business meetings or family gatherings, you've been coming to the Beef Barn for 40 years. Stop by and discover the Beef Barn again.
Make it tonight at the Beef Barn.
Call for reservations at 756-1161.
Experience the difference in Brown & Wood Pontiac Cadillac Buick GMC. Brown & Wood is your GM headquarters in Eastern North Carolina, and they always guarantee 100% customer satisfaction. Stop by and test drive the new Pontiac Solstice, Buick LaCrosse, or check out the new 2007 line of luxurious Cadillac vehicles. Brown & Wood has a great selection of 2007 GMC Yukons and Sierras. And right now, you can drive off in the beautiful new 2007 Pontiac G6 for just $199 a month. That's right, $199 a month is all you'll pay for a new Pontiac G6 at Brown & Wood in Greenville. Remember, with new GM vehicles, you get a 100,000-mile warranty and the life-saving OnStar system. Now that's peace of mind. Brown & Wood, Pontiac, Cadillac, Buick, GMC. We are professional grade. Stop by the dealership on Greenville Boulevard in front of the Greenville Convention Center or take a virtual test drive at brownandwoodauto.com. Brown & Wood, serving Eastern North Carolina for over 70 years.
Payment based on 39 monthly, 10,000 miles per year with 1444 due at size. See dealer for details.
Football season is here, and that means our local Xerox authorized sales agent, Daryl Harrison, will be doing double duty again this year on the weekends in his role as a college football official. Daryl, are you ready to get going?